FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. And, well, today is April 10th, 2020. Well, much to talk about here. Coronavirus. Let's see where it's heading to next. Hard to tell. We've got perhaps somewhat ambiguous statistics. It looks like it might be peaking. But more importantly, the markets, the economy, where is that heading? What are we going to see next? And our good friend, Jim Welsh of MacroTides.com is with us now. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, Kerry. Great to talk to you and glad to hear that you and your family are all safe.
Yeah, thank goodness. I told my kids to get out of New York City, that it would be the worst place to be, not knowing that it was going to be the epicenter of coronavirus, but just knowing that nothing good could come from staying in the city. Here we are, it's a month later, and they're happy not to be there. So, markets, what are we going to see here? We've seen a major snapback in the market. It's recovered. Well, it's definitely recovered quite a bit from its losses. I mean, the Dow, you know, it's down basically 6,000-7,000 points from the peak. And, you know, that's a significant decline, but it's not quite end of the world material. Are we going to see another wave down? Ooh, what's your take here?
Well, I went back to 1929 and looked at all the prior instances, Kerry, where there was a very significant decline where the market got very oversold. And typically the average recovery in those 12 or 13 other instances was a gain of over 17%. And so far, the S&P has recovered just a touch, a few percent beyond that number. So far, the rebound we've seen, as impressive as it is, kind of is matching historical norms. From a price pattern standpoint, the original rally was about 450 S&P points to the high last week at 2641. There was a pullback to 2447. And so if the next move up, the one that I think began late last week, is equal in length, it suggests a high somewhere between 2850 and 2900. My take is based on that historical analysis. And if anybody wants to, receive a copy of that, I'm happy to send it out. Just, Jim Welsh, Macro Gmail. I'll send it to you, reference Kerry, and I'll be happy to send it out to you. What that suggests is, the vast majority of times you went down and you had a retest. On average, the 1929 one was the least of a retest. The secondary high was about 14% above the original low, 4%. On average, though, you go down and have a retest. And obviously in 2008, the retest put the S&P 10% below the low in the fall of 2008, pardon me, March of 2009, that low. So my point is, I believe that the snapback rally is kind of normal and commonplace, and that in all likelihood, we will see another leg down. And then it's just a question of the intensity and whether or not it'll turn into a full retest or not. But I don't think this is a good place to be selling. I think if I'm right, the S&P gets above 2850 or so, selling into that strength makes some sense.
Yeah. So don't panic is the key, right?
Yeah. I mean, I always get down to time horizons. If you're going to work for another 10 or 20 years, you want to do dollar cost averaging, you want to maintain a plan. If your time horizon is shorter than that, less than 5 years to retirement, I think people in that window have to become and learn how to become more tactical, at least with a portion of their portfolio. Because if this winds up turning out worse, if there is a second wave, the potential is that the S&P can go down and not only test the lows, but actually make a lower low. And none of us knows if that is going to happen or not. History suggests that, hey, the odds are there's going to be another leg down of some magnitude. So I just think for those who have a shorter time horizon, you do need to learn and adopt a more tactical approach so that your retirement isn't, kind of really shortchanged.
So you think the retest is going to go below the lows that were made?
I honestly don't. I don't know. Again, I'm just looking at it from a probability standpoint, looking at history. With the exception of 1929, there was a full-blown retest that took place in all the other instances. And then, obviously, a big-time rally. Even in 1929, you had a significant pullback. It just held about 14% above the original low. And then the S&P rallied about 20 to 25% into April of 1930 before it then rolled over and obviously continued to head down until 1932. So I just believe that we're in an environment where under the best scenario, it's going to take longer for our economy to get back to any semblance of normal than most economists are looking for. You know, people are talking about a 15 to 30% annualized decline in the second quarter, Kerry, but then they're looking for a pretty big snapback. And I don't think that's likely. I think the order is going to be put for a period of time. And then as they allow people to go back out, it's going to be, based on regional and medical issues. So places like New York and Seattle and San Francisco, where there's been a huge outbreak, they may be slower to, in a sense, be reopened. And I think human nature. Am I going to be comfortable going to a crowded restaurant right away? I don't think so. Am I going to get on an airplane? No way. So I just think it's going to take longer to get back to, our life as we used to know it 2-3 months ago. And what that means is I think estimates for the second half of this year are going to have to be adjusted downward, both for GDP and for earnings. And I think that that is what's going to contribute to another selling wave coming in. Whether it goes to a new low, we'll just have to take it one day at a time as that is unfolding.
Well, people have been cooped up in their houses for going on a month now. They're sick of it.
Yes.
And especially, like, we all know people who've come down with the virus now and people who have been cured by the hydroxychloroquine rather, and zinc combination. And as the numbers come in there and people see it's more curable, and as they see that the cases really taper off, and the seasonality of it, especially here in Florida, we're already seeing it because it's getting hotter and more humid.
Yeah.
Two big enemies of viral transmission. What happens in the fall? I'm not going to gesture a guess, although my feeling is the treatment options will be much more refined at that point. But if the hydroxychloroquine, zinc, erythromycin combination really does work as well as we've seen the anecdotal evidence, then that's going to be definitely a game changer. We can't say right now. And they're such cheap drugs that literally you could, if they weren't banning them, you could buy them in a drugstore with a prescription, take it yourself. They're not dangerous as long as they're taken as prescribed. So a lot of it's going to hinge upon that. And 8 or 9 studies of the treatment regimen, although not done in double blinds, because you can't, when people are dying, give some of them the drug and some of them not, and then watch the ones that don't get it die. That's really unethical. If there's any efficacy to the treatment at all, you have to give it to everybody. So it's going to be impossible to do these double blind studies. Assume that the anecdotal studies come in unanimously positive, as they have, it could be a whole different paradigm, but caution should be the byword. We don't know the future. As the saying goes, the future is always uncertain. We're going to have a horrible earnings report for this quarter and certainly for Q2. Where it heads after that, anybody's guess. Do you think the market's taken into account the bad earnings news for Q1 and Q2?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper at just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful. It's at low elevation, and the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7-kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, gold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
I think for the most part, Kerry, I believe so. I mean, I think companies are going to come up with awful numbers and not going to be able to give guidance. And I think most people are going to be more than willing to give them some slack. I think it really is going to come down to how quickly can the economy reopen in a meaningful way? Are there viable treatment options so that when people get sick, we can help them so they don't wind up on a respirator? Right now, people who are on a respirator, the rate of death is about 75%. So you need some treatment regimen that will prevent people getting so sick as that they're on a respirator. And whether all the things you talk about can provide that help, that'll make a big difference. Because until you get a vaccine, you need other treatment options until you build up enough immunity in the overall population to keep this thing from spreading. And hopefully some of the things that you talked about will prove effective, if not 100%, even if it's 60 to 70% of the people respond favorably to some of those treatment options, that would be huge because it would really relieve the excessive burden on the healthcare system. And I think it would return to normalcy would happen more quickly if you knew, hey, I can go out, and if I get sick, they can really take care of me. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the leap that has to be accomplished. And we need the time to do tens of millions making more tests so that we can be more prepared, especially when we get into, the next flu season next year. And I think the determination and the willpower will be there. And we'll have the time to do that. It just comes down to the next 30 to 60 days are going to be critical in terms of, do some of these treatments work? How good are they? What are the side effects? And how quickly can we gradually reopen, and put out the business open for business signs?
Yeah, well, I agree with you there. And I guess we're just going to kind of have to see where it goes. We don't know, but I think it could surprise on the upside for the simple reason that when these things come about and we feel totally powerless, we become pessimistic. The doctors, there's the old saying, don't put a general in charge of a war and don't put a doctor in charge of a pandemic because you'll wind up these doctors, they want pure, they'll tell you should sterilize every surface in your house and they really go overboard. They're looking, to turn everybody's house into a clean room, which just is not feasible. The world is a dirty, germy, filthy place in a lot of places, especially like New York, where I spent a lot of my life and I'm happy not to be there now. And that's why you got to look for the independent sources. Do not believe the World Health Organization, totally corrupted by the Chinese, and the person running it is completely corrupt by all accounts. So you got to look for information elsewhere. But once we're through this, assuming that the treatment options are viable and work for the majority of people, especially if started early, and we will have these tests well in place come the next flu season. So we'll know right away, start treating them with this regimen immediately upon testing positive. What do you think? Do you think we could be looking up with all the liquidity storming into the economy?
Yeah. I mean, again, my take here is that if what you describe comes true to a reasonable extent, that the S&P from the March of 2009 low, that this is wave four within the context of a five-wave secular bull market, and that we're in the last portion of that corrective phase, you know, in this bear market or mini bear market, as you would, I think, describe it. And it's just a question of, do we get that retest or not? And if we can accomplish everything that you just laid out, the liquidity that the Fed has provided is more for the plumbing of the financial system. But the safety net that Congress has already passed, and they're going to do more in terms of sustaining people during this period of time, so that, you know, it ends more quickly, we get a stronger rebound, and so forth. I think there's the potential that once a low is truly in, and we'll know that more in the next month or two, that a rally that takes the S&P up to 3,500 to 4,000 or so, I think that is a good likelihood. At the same time, if the S&P, for whatever reason, gets below 1,800, which was the low in February of 2016, to me, from a technical standpoint, that would mean that things are really, truly breaking down. And that would imply that the you know, the treatment options aren't as you know, as good as we would like them to be, that this is a more difficult problem. It's going to persist for a longer time, hamper economic activity for a longer time, not just here, but globally. So that, to me, is where the intersection of technical analysis and look at the world can be of some help. I'll note that the 50% retracement of the move up from March of 2009 to the high we saw in February is about 2050. So if we get a retest and we drop below the 2200 level, you know, somewhere in that window between 2050 and 2200, to me, is a great buying zone. And then I would be using the 1800 level as being, okay, that's, I think that's the make or break level. I'm optimistic that that's not the route we're going to go, that even if we get a retest, it will be enough to scare the bejesus out of people. I mean, in a sense, Kerry, this rally is inspiring a lot of hope that the worst is behind us. If we get another decline, whatever the motivation for that decline is, I think the most likely candidate is that the economy, you know, the shelter in place gets extended and earnings have to come down and so forth for the second half. But, you know, we get that pullback, we get the retest, a reversal off that retest, I think will be the entrance into another big bull market phase, as I said, that I think will take the S&P to new all-time highs. So I'm just trying to navigate the next 30 to 60 days in terms of, okay, what's going to happen with the economy in terms of sheltering in place rules, and technically, what's the stock market most likely to do? So I'm with you. I think there's reason to be optimistic. It's just, are we going to get a retest? Are we going to have to shelter in place for a little longer time to get the desired outcome? I'm on that side of the equation, but I hope it turns out that you know, the various treatment options really do prove effective, because that's what we need to buy time, you know, in order to get to that place where we have a vaccine.
Yeah, I gotcha. And I agree. Well, we're going to have to see what happens next. Obviously, people want to find out more about Jim's work, then just go to macrotides.com. That's macrotides.com. Questions, comments, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed @kerrylutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Jim, appreciate you coming on. Good luck. Stay healthy.
Yeah, same to you, Kerry. Thanks very much. Always enjoy having our conversation.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.